Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem. Carrying on in the Kingdom of God study. Chapter 64. See His Face. Scriptures. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Revelation 22, verses 3 and 4. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 to 13. For the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Jehovah, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou searchest out my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Jehovah, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall overwhelm me, and the light about me shall be night. Even the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst cover me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks unto thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see mine unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, even the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloodthirsty men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Jehovah, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. They have become mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 24, American Standard Version. So also the Messiah did not exalt himself to become a high priest, but he appointed him who said to him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. as he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the likeness of Melchizedek. Likewise, when he was clothed in flesh, he presented supplication and entreaty with intense invocation and with tears to him who was able to resuscitate him from death, and he was heard. And though he was a son, yet from the fear and the suffering he endured, he learned obedience. And thus he was perfected and became the cause of eternal life to all them who obey him. And he was named of God the high priest after the likeness of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 to 10, Murdoch translation. And scriptures. Two visions. First vision. Great pieces of earthen clay then began to fall off of the crumbling bodies of the overcomers as they endured greater and greater shakings, trials, and tribulations in their lives upon the earth. As they endured these testings, much of their life was shaken apart. The part of them which could be shaken, that part which was detestable to their faith. As the shakings continued in their lives, the Lord was before them, doing this work and permitting the trials to separate out from the inner core of their persons that new undefiled nature which cannot be shaken or destroyed. As a new nature emerged, the old nature continued to shake apart as large clumps of clay falling to the earth, never to be part of their lives again. The entire process had one purpose in the will of the Lord, and that was to prepare the overcomer for the time ahead when they would behold the Lord's face forevermore with no defilement in them. The overcomers then bore also the testimony of Job, who said, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job 19, verses 25 and 26. End vision. Second vision. I beheld then also in unison with the first vision that the shakings in the world are preparing mankind for the very same thing. Although they may not hold the testimony of Job, they nevertheless will endure shakings which will end the ways of men. The time frame for this to happen is only known by the Lord, for no man knows the day or the hour when Jesus will come, but the shakings can be clearly seen. These shakings I saw were preparing men to also enter the New Jerusalem, which is the city of the Lord, which is in reality the church that Christ built. Their purpose for entering in, not just for salvation, but to also behold the face of the Lord, for every person will, in time, behold the Lord's face. And vision, and two visions. A poem. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. William Cowper, 1731 to 1800. End poem. Tribulations in this day are only going to increase more and more until the new dawn breaks and the shadows flee away. The Lord has designed this time we are in to be a preparation for the overcomer first, then for the rest of mankind, and for every creature, including this natural world, at this present time. The preparations require that everything endure shaking, so that the eyes of the Lord can discover what is and what is not of his own nature. For all that fell away from the Lord must be removed, and only that which has been identified with the living Christ can remain. Those who do not possess the nature of Christ, they too will fall away in dissimulation until the time of the restoration of all things. For I am not of that class of believer in this day who states that Jesus is in every person, for every person cannot hold that Prince of Peace in unity with their own spirit if they are not first born into the family of God. And no person can be born into the family of God by choice, but only when it is ordained for that to happen. Nor do I wish to tickle ears with choice-sounding doctrine, brackets teaching, doctrine teaching, same word, that will give an easy path. For tribulation can only be answered by a personal cross, and a personal cross can only be found if one is willing to bear it. You cannot die to this world without it, and you cannot live unto God in the next if you do not take it up first. This cross works in the lives of those who are willing to obey the Lord in all things, not just some things. The full working of the cross in the life of the overcomer makes them very distinct from all the rest of mankind and Christendom, because the tribulation may look and sound the same, but it is literally much different. Those that overcome have a tribulation combined with the heat of the fire of the Holy Ghost, which fire and heat most people know nothing about. It is that fire and heat which has separated those that overcome from all others. And that dealing of the Lord is very unique. If you were to look into the beyond of the great divide wherein the spirit world exists, you would note that the shakings that are happening here on this earth in our time frame are magnified many times in the spirit world. The spirit world is being shaken much harder, not just now, but until the time of this consummation, when Christ will be seen as exalted alone above all else, which time will also signal the restoration of all things. The spirit world, including heaven itself, is enduring great shaking. This shaking is because the Lord has purposed not just to bring the earth to the end of itself so that he may manifest his kingdom, but that the spirit world and the natural world must meld together into one whole. That which is of spirit must fully envelop that which is natural. So melding together into one whole, whole, that which is of spirit must fully envelop that which is natural. Part of the dealings of the Lord is to prepare both realms for this to take place, where the kingdoms of the world, the natural creation itself, including all that is in the cosmos, every particle of the universe, all of it, must be swallowed up by the realm of spirit. It is like there is a great divide that the Lord is closing, that divide being that which is of the earth, earthy, and that which is of his spirit, substance. The spirits of men who died and returned unto the Lord in heaven are taking part in this shaking. Again, the spirits of men who died and returned unto the Lord in heaven are taking part in the shaking. As the shaking takes place, they are being readied to be reunited with bodies of flesh, glorified, risen and made like unto Jesus' body, raised wonderfully from the wrappings of the death cloths in the tomb. With great joy and anticipation, the saints and inhabitants of heaven are longing for their shaking to be completed, so that they will be clothed upon with their spiritual bodies. No man has yet received a spiritual body except for Jesus, but in the end, all will possess one. So then, the very core of the house of the Lord and the very creation itself is being shaken together for the purpose of making all things new. That is the final working which we will see in real time, not just in superficial thought and fanciful doctrines which try to emulate that now. This will be a factual working, something that is tangible in both realms of spirit and nature, something that will be done solely by our Creator who designed it to be that way. This shaking for the life of the overcomer is a migration, a moving from being part of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of the Lord to actually appearing before his throne to behold his face. They reign with him once he is seen. They then take part in that rulership over all the rest of the spirit world and the natural creation, both here on this earth and through the cosmos. For the Lord will not leave the overcomer to just be a tree of life with leaves for the healing of the nations and fruits to display the government of the Lord. He will also advance them to an even greater display of his love, and that is to behold his face completely. To behold his face completely. I'm just going to interject in here. Say, I am going to behold his face completely. Put in your name for I. Ken is going to behold his face completely. End of interjection. To behold his face completely, see him as he sits to rule eternity, and then to rule with him. As the overcomer learns now to obey the laws of faith and purity in even the smallest matters, it prepares them for this bigger, eternal matter. Their lives first become broken, destroyed by circumstance and hard trials, unjust tribulations and hurtful experiences. They come first to the end of themselves, not knowing which way is up and not being able to see anything more than their own fleshly lives in this world. From there, the crumbling clay is removed so that they can ascend as complete new creations with no duality. For the end of this shaking time we are in will signal the end of their duality and the right to behold the face of the Lord. This is not just words that give false hope. This is literally what is happening. And seeing his face is another experience which will take place in the future, nothing preventing it. Your flesh nature, dear overcomer, will not prevent you from overcoming. Your fallen sinful condition is not the thermometer the Lord uses to work his purposes. Let me repeat that again, those two sentences. Your flesh nature, dear overcomer, will not prevent you from overcoming. Again, your flesh nature, dear overcomer, will not prevent you from overcoming. Your fallen sinful condition is not the thermometer the Lord uses to work his purposes. Your fallen sinful nature, he will not fix. It is destined for full crucifixion with Jesus in full identity. That's your flesh. It is destined for full crucifixion with Jesus in full identity. As he died upon his cross without sin, so will you. For your sin will be removed by death, and for the purpose of making you holy. Say it to yourself, I am going to be made holy. The Lord is going to do this. He's going to remove death and make you holy. The Lord has ordained that all mankind become holy. It just so happens that this is first for the overcomer. What religion does is it tries to make the sinful condition of your fallen nature better. Again, what religion does is it tries to make the sinful condition of your fallen nature better. It tries to heal it so that the Lord would accept it. That is the entire work and scope of religion. Again, to make the fallen nature better, so that the Lord would heal it and accept it. But the Lord wants people who are real, who know what it means to walk upon the dust of this earth, and who know what it means to live in the reality of that which is now. He does not wish for people to be religious and to try to make their flesh better or acceptable. He wants people who abandon their lives upon their own crosses so that he can raise them up again in the newness of life which is eternal. This particular working of the Lord has been bestowed upon those who overcome first and through all the ages past. These are they who have not tried to fix their flesh, but have died to it. As your life in this world expires and you lose it, the Lord will give it back to you, not just a heavenly life, but the actual natural world and creation and rulership over all the nations that you died to. Tremendous. As your life in this world expires and you lose it, the Lord will give it back to you. Not just a heavenly life, but the actual natural world and creation and rulership over all the nations that you died to. This world is not destined to be reigned over by flesh monarchs and the governing bodies of men. It is destined to be reigned over by those who are complete in Christ as a new creation, with no duality or carnality or anything that is not in full subjection to servitude to the Lord who is over all. It is the lowly overcomer, locked away in the booth or closet of tribulation, who is destined to rule this world more mightier than any earthly monarch in world history. They will rule from the nature which is holy, and their reign will never cease until all things are fully subdued back unto Jesus. The last thing being death itself. For the overcomer will not just rule this world as a reigning monarch, but they will do so as ones who serve the living Lord, bringing all things to a place where they are in full subjection to his dominion. The service of the overcomer, who will be released from earthly bondage, will not just be to the Lord upon the throne of heaven, but in all the spirit world, the natural world, and the cosmos itself, even to the infinite end of all things. All that was created will come into their rulership, and that rulership is for one single purpose. That purpose is to prepare all things to see the face of the Lord. So, dear reader of these pages, or you who are listening, if you are shut away in a closet, forgotten, alone, stuck with no sideways fellowship except for a very few, if you are friendless and hapless, helpless and lonely, not sure of what is true in your heart or what is false in your heart, not knowing which way is right and which way is wrong, if you are enduring tribulations that would kill an ordinary person, and you have no idea when those trials will end, if you are stuck in a place of merciless temptation and discouragements, wondering if the Lord forgot you even existed, if the tribulation in the world makes you wonder what happened to the Lord and why did he disappear when the early apostles died and he rarely has been heard from since, if you are wondering how your life will end up, and you know that all that is in you is a single desire to be in the center of his will, then know this, that you are being prepared to see the Lord's face. You are being shaken apart by your own personal trial. You're going to see his face. The cross you bear is to ready you for rulership and to receive power from the Lord to break to shivers the nations with a rod of iron. Your life, small and insignificant, is being prepared to rule the cosmos, not in self-exaltation, but in real humility, being raised in newness of life, never to perish again, never to cease from being outside of his perfect will. You are being prepared to be granted the right to sit with Jesus upon the throne. You are being prepared for your new glorified body, which will never perish, and by which all the power of God is made available all the time, with no restraint, and all that you do will only be a testament of his resurrection power. But the greatest thing is also for just a time. And that greatest thing is servitude to the King of Kings himself. That servitude will bring all the nations, all present and all extinct, to behold his face as he sits upon the throne of heaven. That honor will be yours, for you will have the right to prepare the nations by breaking them to shivers with that rod of his rule, that rod of iron which will destroy all the works of men. The entire process for this is so that all may behold and see Jesus exalted at the right hand of God, as he who ever lives to make intercession for us. Your future, dear reader of these pages, is to see his face. And when you do, you will also reign with him forevermore. So stay true to your closet of tribulation, to your confinements, to your hurtful circumstances. Do not seek deliverance, but instead pray for a better resurrection because of it. To the degree you have suffered, so much greater will be the degree of resurrection when Jesus comes, rising evermore, one with him in a glorified body, will be your eternal reward. And you will forevermore behold his beautiful face. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.